This is Apollo Control at 33 hours, 57 minutes. We're less than 3 minutes now from the scheduled television transmission from Apollo 11. We're continuing to stand by for that. We've also been asked to advise that the Delta launch of Intelsat 3, scheduled for Friday night at 10 p.m., has been postponed for 24 hours. To repeat, the Delta launch of Intelsat 3, scheduled for Friday night at 10 p.m., has been postponed for 24 hours. Further details on that will be available in the news center.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston. We got the network all configured for the TV. You can start anytime you want, over. Okay, 11, we have a picture. We see the Earth right in the center of the screen, over. Okay, 11, we have a picture. We see the Earth right in the center of the screen, over.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 11. Calling in from about 130,000 miles out. And we'll zoom our camera in slowly to get the most magnification we can, over.
Roger.
This view is coming to us from about 129,000 nautical miles.
Houston, the definition is pretty good on our monitor here. The color's not too varsity, at least on this set. Could you describe what you're looking at, over?
Roger, you're seeing Earth as we see it at our left-hand window, just a little more than a half Earth. We're looking at the eastern Pacific Ocean, and the north half of the top half of the screen, we can see North America, Alaska, United States, Canada, Mexico, and Central America. South America becomes invisible just off beyond the terminator or inside the shadow. We can see the oceans with a definite blue cast, see white bands of major cloud formations across the Earth, and can see coastlines that got the western U.S., San Joaquin Valley, the Sierra Mountain Range, the peninsula of Baja California, and can see some cloud formations over southeastern U.S. There's one definite mild storm southwest of Alaska. Looks like about 500 to 1,000 miles. And another very minor storm showing the south end of the screen near the, a long way south of the equator, probably 45 degrees or more south latitude. Can pick out the ground, the browns in the landforms pretty well. The greens do not show up very well. Some green showing along the northwestern coast of the United States and northwestern coast of Canada.
Roger 11, it's a pretty good picture on clarity here. We're having, could you tell us, it appears to us that there are two distinct cloud formations trending east-west, one approximately about along the equator and one around 30 or so south latitude. Could you tell us exactly where those cross the land masses over?
Now, yes, they cross just south of the lower part of Mexico, probably through Central America. That is the equatorial band, which we assume to be the intertropical convergence zone. The other band, which is about 30 south, correctly seems to appear to join equator at the far left, or just beyond the horizon on the left edge of Earth, or at least looks like it's going to join it. We don't have an explanation for that banding.
Roger, Neil. Thank you. It also appears that just to the left of the terminator, up in the northern hemisphere, there's a cloud band trending, a gap in the clouds trending northwest, southeast. It appears to us that comes in about over the northern United States, or perhaps the central United States. Is that about correct, over?
I can see on the monitor the thing you're talking about, but right now I can't get my eye to the window to pick out just where it crosses the shoreline.
Roger. You guys are doing a good job. It's a real steady picture here. Where clarity is excellent. The color, it's the clouds are, the whites are distinct. The rest of it looks like a, to me anyway, on the monitor I'm observing, is a fairly greenish blue, is the way I describe it. Over. It appears that the.
Well, we can't observe. Observe much green from the spacecraft.
Roger. On this monitor, the land masses appear to be just a darker a grayish color rather than a brown.
Well, it's true that we do not have the depth of color at this range that we enjoyed at 50,000 miles out. However, the oceans still are a definite blue, and the continents are generally brownish in cast, although it is true that they're tending more toward gray now than they were at the closer ranges.
Roger, 11. We've been, I've just been vectored to another monitor, and sure enough, the browns are coming in a lot more distinctly on the Ida 4 that we have up on our screen in the control center. Over.
Okay, world, hold on to your hat. I'm going to turn you upside down.
That's a pretty good roll there.
That's pretty sloppy. Sorry, let me try that one again.
You'll never beat out the Thunderbirds. Apollo 11 Houston, that practice did you some good. It's looking a real smooth roll there.
Yep, spoke too soon.
All right, making myself seasick doing it, Charlie. I'll just put you back right side up where you belong.
Roger.
You don't get to do that every day.
Houston, could you describe from your view the polar cloud cap appears to us to extend down the western coast of North America. Would you estimate how far it extends down over?
Fit everybody into the window.
It appears that the cloud cap comes down a little bit below the southern extremity of Alaska.
Roger. We've, 11, we've lost our picture here now. Okay, Apollo 11 Houston, we've got the picture back now.
Unfortunately, we only have one window that has a view of the Earth, and it's filled up with the TV camera, so your view now is probably better than ours is.
Roger, we copy. 11 Houston, if you could comply, we'd like to see some smiling faces up there. If you could give us some interior views, I'm sure everybody'd like to see you. Over.
Okay, we'll reconfigure the TV for that.
Roger. Apollo 11 Houston, appears to us that we're seeing a view from outside plus a little of the inside. It appears you've taken the camera away from the left window. Now over.
That's correct. We're moving it back and reconfiguring for interior lighting.
Roger. We can still see the Earth through the left window, and it appears that we can see a floodlight off to the left, either that or some sun shafting through the hatch window.
It's a floodlight.
Gotcha. Now we're coming in. Can't quite make out who that had. It's Big Mike Collins there.
Well, you got a little bit of...
Yeah, hello there, sports fans. You got a little bit of me, plus Neil's in the center couch, and Buzz is doing the camera work this time.
Roger, it's a little dark now, 11. Maybe a bigger f-stop might help.
Yeah, that didn't work.
It's getting a lot better now, 11. Mike, you're coming in fine by. I got a good...
Well, I put on a coat and tie if I'd known about this ahead of time.
Is Buzz holding your cue cards for you, over?
Cue cards have a no. We have no intention of competing with the professionals, believe me. We are very comfortable up here, though. We do have a happy home. There's plenty of room for the three of us, and I think we're all learning to find our favorite little corner to sit in. The zero-G is very comfortable, but after a while, you get to the point where you sort of get tired of rattling around and banging off the ceiling and the floor and the side, so you, you tend to find a little corner somewhere and put your knees up or something like that to wedge yourself in, and that seems more at home.
Roger, looks like Neil is coming in five by there. 11, Mike, see you in the background. The definition is really outstanding. The colors are good. It's a real good picture we're getting here of the Commander Armstrong. Buzz, when you take the camera over towards the window with the sun shining through it, sends to blank it out, though.
Yeah, Neil's standing on his head again. He's trying to make me nervous.
Roger.
He's disappearing up into the tunnel, of course, as he would going into the lunar module, only backwards.
Roger, we can see portions of the LAB now, the systems test meter panel, in the lower part of the picture, or we did have it anyway.
Okay, and then directly behind his head are our optical instruments, the sextant and the telescope that we use to take sightings with.
Roger, copy, and we see the disky flashing with a 651. In fact, we can read registers 1 and 2 quite clearly.
Yeah, the old high gain angle is telling us which way the Earth is.
Copy. That's a beautiful picture. Clarity is outstanding.
We can also give you the time of day in our system of mission elapsed time, 34 hours, 16 minutes, and 18 seconds.
Roger.
Can you see that clearly enough, Charlie?
Roger, Apollo 11. We can see it counting up every second. We got 34:17:02 now.
Okay, back to the high gain angles.
Roger.
Bring amp. Now we've amputated those. Mm-hmm.
11 Houston. It's we have a beautiful rainbow there, and as you move the camera around rapidly, that looks like the star chart coming into view now. Over.
Yeah, those are Buzz's two star charts that he is using right now as sunshades over the right-hand window, window number 5.
Roger. We see the sun shining in through it behind him and plotting out the the ecliptic plane and the stars that you're using for the navigation.
You're right. He doesn't really need the charts. He's got them memorized. They're just for show.
We copy.
Well, we're pointing up in this direction. We see out our side windows the sun going by, and of course out one of our windows right now we've got the Earth. Now right behind my window, of course, we have the sun, because the sun is illuminating the star chart that we see. This line represents the ecliptic plane, and these lines, vertical lines, represent our reference system that the spacecraft is using at this time. As we approach the moon will gradually grow larger and larger in size, and eventually it will be in eclipse. It will be eclipsing the sun as we go behind it as we approach the lunar orbit insertion maneuver.
Roger, 11. Could you attempt a little bit better focus there, 11, over? Houston, that's a lot better on the star chart now. We can make out the ecliptic plane and the planets and the sun and the moon as it as they're drawn at various places throughout the ecliptic plane. Over.
Okay, Charlie. Get some of the wires untangled here. We'll give you a demonstration of how easy push-ups are up here.
11, Roger. Good to do a buzz there.
Doing it that way, why we just roll over and do it the other way?
Roger, we copy. Couldn't figure out whether that was a chin up or a push up. Just take your choice, I guess.
Probably almost your dinner time down there, Earth. We'll show you our food cabinet here in a second.
11, Roger. Houston, we see a box full of goodies there, over.
Oh, we really have them, Charlie. We got all kinds of good stuff. We've got coffee up here in the upper left, and various breakfast items, bacon in little small bites, and beverages like fruit drink. And over in the center part, we have all kinds of things. Let me pull one out here and see what it is.
Right.
Would you believe you're looking at chicken stew here? All you have to do is 3 ounces of hot water for 5 or 10 minutes. Now, we get our hot water out of a little spigot up here with a filter on it that filters any gases that may be in the drinking water out. And we just stick the end of this little tube in the end of the spigot and pull a trigger 3 times for 3 ounces of hot water, and then mush it up and slice the end off it, and there you go. Beautiful chicken stew.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, the food so far has been very good. We couldn't be happier with it.
Roger.
Can I have a flashlight a second?
The surgeons are saying thank you there for that.
And it is sort of down in a dark corner, so we have a flashlight here to help us see things. And if I can let go of it carefully, it'll just hold itself right where it is.
Roger.
As long as disturb it will.
Apollo 11, you said it's a pretty good demonstration. You started off really stable there, Mike. It's,
well, the problem is no matter how carefully you let go, you bump it just a tiny little bit, set it in motion, and once in motion, there she goes. Try that again.
It looks fairly stable now with slow rotation. We copy.
Charlie, we checked out the cable lengths, and we're thinking we might want to see if we can take the TV into the LEM with us tomorrow for part of the time. Over.
Roger. Good show. We'd like to see it if it'll reach that far. Over.
We'll give it a try.
Roger. Slowly sinking into the sack there.
Yeah, it's really comfortable. Forgot to give Buzzy's flashlight back.
Could you give the folks a view of your patch if on your CWGs, over?
Yeah,
stand right away, Charlie. We'll try to give you a close-up.
All right.
11, Houston, we have the patch. Could you attempt to improve the focus slightly? Over. Houston, a scan on the camera makes the, that's a little bit better now. The flashlight seems to flicker due to the scan on the TV. We can't see the Eagle. Now that's a little bit better. Over. Could you open the F-stop a little bit more? Over.
Yeah, it's open all the way. We're going to have to move Buzz around a little bit.
Roger. Houston, the color is better now. It's coming in. We could attempt a little bit better focus on it. There we go. Our focus is a lot better now. We see the Eagle coming right in on the lunar surface. Over. That's very good now. Houston, that's very good now. We can see the Earth in the background, Apollo 11, and the Eagle coming in.
Probably pretty hard to see the olive branch, isn't it?
Roger, it is.
Well, that's what he has in his talons, is an olive branch.
Copy. Houston, we're really impressed with the clarity and the detail that we have in the picture. The colors are, now it's a really an excellent picture now that I'm looking at on our monitor, which is about 12 seconds before the networks can get it out due to the conversion that we have here on our TV converter. The we're looking at the controls and display, the main display console, and we can see the disky up on the panel. Over. Big Brother's watching.
And yeah, we're glad of it. Well, you guys sure been doing a good job of watching us, Charlie. We appreciate it.
Spacecraft's been beautiful, 11. We had really no complaints at all. Looks, things are really great.
On the NBC?
That's affirmative. It appears that can't quite tell what program. We look like we're in poo. We see you punching in a verb 35, I think it is. Over.
Yeah, might as well tell the ECOMs or tell the GNCs and everybody to hold on their hat and I'll push the enter button.
Roger. We see a real display now. is a good demonstration of how crew has the interface with the computer, talking to the programs and all that we have in the computer.
Well, that's right, Charlie. Sometimes it tells us things, and sometimes we tell it things, and mostly it talks to us.
Houston, we just lost our pick. I see we're going back outside now. Over. Houston, you copy? Over.
Roger, we copy. And, when you pan back out to the distance at which we see the Earth, we'll have Apollo 11 signing off.
Roger, Apollo 11. Thank you much for the show. It's a real good half hour. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Al.
This is Apollo Control. That TV transmission lasted about 35 minutes.
Apollo 11, Houston, would you key error reset on the disky, please? Over.
Okay, we should be straight now, Charlie, back and poop.
Houston, Apollo 11, how are we stand on this O2 fuel cell purge? You want to go ahead and do that as scheduled in the flight plan?
Stand by, 11, over.
Okay.
11, Houston, you can commence the O2 fuel cell purge now if you'd like, over.
Okay, fine. Well, Buzz is doing that, I'll